pray. God, let us hear what you would have us hear. Let us learn what you would have us learn and challenge us to go out and do what you would have us do. In Jesus' name, amen. Those three little words, Cassie, my wife of 20 plus years, loves to hear those three little words from me. She wants to know that the things that brought us together in the beginning either still exist or have grown into something that is even better. And I understand that by saying those three little words, I acknowledge that we share something together that brings meaning to each of our lives. And those three little words, I appreciate you. You were thinking something else, huh? Although in reality, those three little words, I appreciate you, aren't enough. Over the last 20 plus years, I've learned that gratitude is something that Cassie really does appreciate. However, simply saying thank you or I appreciate you as a way to move on to the next conversation or the next events in our lives doesn't cut it. Saying something like that sounds like, yeah, that was great. Thanks to her. I've learned that what's important in showing appreciation is genuine, gushing, and deep gratitude. Not that I hardly ever get it right, but genuine, gushing, and deep gratitude is what speaks to Cassie. That's the kind that really reaches her. Right, hon? Where is she? Yeah. Did she smile and nod? In this week's Bible reading, Jesus healed 10 lepers, and he instructed them to show themselves to a priest to prove that they were healed, because that's what you did. The doctor didn't show you were healed. If you had an infectious skin disease, you went to the priest and said, you're clean, if you were clean. 9 of them did exactly that, or we are to assume that 9 of them did that. They went off. But then one of them, a foreigner, a Samaritan, an outcast among outcasts, really, was overcome with gratitude, and he came back with this deep and gushing gratitude to really say thank you. So I wonder, did the 9 who did exactly what Jesus said get it wrong? They just did what they were told. Couldn't they have been showing their thanks by following instructions? Don't we say that to our kids? You want to help me? Do what I say. But I want to thank you. You want to thank me? Do what I say. Now we could talk about a whole lot of things that might have been going on with them. They'd been separated from their families for who knows how long by this disease that they had. And it was a disease that nobody talked about. You know, people didn't talk about my family, someone in my family has leprosy, because then all of a sudden you might be thrown into that part there and people might start to shun you too. But now Jesus told them to go see a priest. They were going to be restored to their families and their communities. I can imagine that they couldn't get away from that area between the two nations, that area of exile, fast enough. But there must be something else that's not right there at the surface. There always is when you read the Bible, right? There's always something more, something deeper. Jesus paid special attention to the one who came back against his instructions. This is the one that didn't do what Jesus said. This one foreigner, the Samaritan, he knew he was healed and he came back. And the Samaritan could have gone to a priest, because Samaritans, sometimes we say Samaritans, they weren't Jews, but really, they were like more Jewish than the other Jewish people. See, way back when, about the time of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, but a little bit after that. So the 12 tribes of Israel, they're scattered in everything. And 2 of them on the northern part of the kingdom, I can't remember their name, but 2 of them sort of survive when the Assyrians come in and take over. But they sort of, you know, they got married to the Assyrians and everything, but they still hold fast to the law. The Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those 5 books of the law. And they said that they were keeping Torah more than anyone else. And they knew that they had married with people who were not Jewish, but they said that happens all the time. So we are truly Israel, And these others who are outcasting us, they're not. So that was kind of the attitude. And of course, Israel would say, no, they're outcasts. They married with others. They're not really Jewish anymore. And so that's why all of this outcast stuff came from. But the Samaritan could have gone to a priest, one of his priests, but he didn't. He came back to Jesus. Some say that this encounter of Jesus and the 10 lepers, really it's a metaphor that it's Jesus telling of God's salvation to the Hebrew people and their rejection of that and the acceptance of it by the Gentiles. And that could make sense, except that the Samaritans weren't really Gentiles. They were Jews. They were just outcast Jews, out of the family, out of the fold. And what I think, instead of that being this metaphor for what happened here, I think it was a real healing, and I think that it teaches us that there is something better that God desires for us than simply following the rules. I didn't say breaking the rules. I said simply following the rules. There's something better that God desires from us than knowing that God loves us and then going about our lives as normal. Look, I'm healed, I'm cleansed, I can go back to my family, life as normal. There's something more. God wants us to live for something more. God desires a response from us that is more than a short or curt, thank you, yeah, yeah, now let's get on to the next event in my life. All ten lepers left the area. They no longer had leprosy. They were cleansed. They were made clean. There's a really long Greek word that sounds like catharsis. Their illness was removed. They experienced a catharsis. It's just gone. Then one leper really noticed he had been healed. There's another Greek word. It's yaomai. Everyone say yaomai. Yeah. Sounds like that basketball player, right? Yeah, or that guy on Survivor a couple seasons ago. Yaoman? Yeah. Yaomai. But there's a difference in that word. It's sort of a progression that goes from cleansed or made clean to really healed. It's like this. 10 had their symptoms vanish. One was cured. One was restored. It doesn't say that the others weren't healed or restored. But Jesus only got to see the one. That's why he asked. Where's the other 9? Then it goes even further. After Jesus asked, where are the other 9? He turned to the one who was face down on the ground praising God and said, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Made you well. Made well. And that same word, another Greek word. Some is so-so, like the Led Zeppelin album, right? Wasn't that one of them? Like 5, or I don't know what it was. Or seisoken. It means made well. It's also the same word that means made whole. It's the same word that means saved. There are some translations of the Bible that says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has saved you. Others say, your faith has made you whole. Others say, your faith has made you well. When Jesus said to Zacchaeus, do you remember the wee little man from Sunday school? Can you sing the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. I don't remember the rest of the words. In the sycamore tree, for the Lord he wanted to see. What's next? I don't remember that part, but it is, I'm going to your house today. I remember that part. I'm going to your house today. When Jesus was talking to Zacchaeus, he said, salvation has come to this house today. That's in Luke 19, just a couple chapters ahead. He followed it up, though, with, for the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. Save. Salvation. Not exactly the same word, but Jesus uses them in context together because they are in context together. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has brought you salvation. That's the message Jesus communicated. 10 were cleansed. 1 was restored. That same one was made whole, was saved, received salvation. Now, when you hear the word salvation, That's where you can get that image of hellfire and brimstone preaching, can't you? Jesus Christ has come to bring you salvation. Your soul was headed to hell. But now Jesus has brought you salvation and you are heaven bound. But this, I didn't bring it, don't worry. This cleansed, restored, and saved Samaritan leper was made whole. He was given liberty. He was brought to a whole and amazing place. He experienced firsthand God's grace and God's unconditional love. He experienced God's restoration. When things seemed hopeless, if you were a leper, things were hopeless. This cleansed, restored Samaritan person's only response had to be one of genuine, gushing, and deep thanks. That's all he could do. So I wonder, what is it in our lives that we have to really gush about? Genuinely gush about? If we have those things, why do we always seem to move on to the next thing after the short and shallow, thank you? Thank you, Lord. So here's a challenge for this week, even for this season, the harvest season. Harvest is coming in, and we have reasons to be thankful. And I know that we also have reasons to be concerned, reasons to be sad, even to be in anguish, just like the Samaritan leper. And just like God offered to the Samaritan leper, God offers us cleansing, restoration, and salvation. So our response doesn't have to be running back after Jesus in a physical sense, but our response is genuine, gushing, and deep gratitude. So this week, this season, this week, for a start, look for ways to show genuine, gushing, and deep gratitude to God. And when you see those ways, instead of simply noticing and pausing for a quick, oh, thank you, really, genuinely, deeply gush with gratitude to God. Gush in the way that you sense is right. Gush with your words. Gush with gifts. Gush with your time. Gush with something that you write down. Gush with your finances. In whatever form you use, whatever form any one of us use, let's send out to God some moving, some authentic, some gushing thank you notes. Let's pray. I ask God that you would fill our hearts with gratitude. You would fill our hearts with appreciation. That as we know that we have been blessed, that we would respond with genuine, heartfelt thanks. That we would respond by telling the story of your blessings to all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.